Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies and bricks swimming in the sea.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Today's guest is a Cal Poly women's basketball legend and Rigetti High graduate, Christina Santiago, who has been playing professionally over in Europe for a number of years now. And in December, I think on the 3rd, she's getting her number retired. So look for information on that. I'll link to it on the post for this podcast. And Christina talked a little bit about what it's like playing in Europe, where her professional career is, what got her to actually go to Cal Poly out of high school, how Coach Faith Mimna solidified her relationship with Christina early on when Christina actually had an ACL tear in high school. It was a really interesting story. Speaking of ACL tears, Christina's going through rehab from her third torn ACL right now and getting ready to head back to Europe. But first, she'll get her number retired, and we talked a lot about her time at Cal Poly and everything else basketball related. So hope you enjoy it. It's the Fansmanship.com podcast with Christina Santiago.
I'm 805 raised, 209 repping, 310 living, giving praise like it's Thanksgiving. To the state that raised me, I'm just showing love. We don't raise our glass, we congregate, smoke blood. We all got dreams, some.
Are your parents from around here?
Yeah. I mean, my dad grew up for a while in Kansas, but my mom's from up north, and yeah, I don't know.
So that's why you're a Chiefs fan?
Yeah.
Okay. And you spent the off season, like the whole summer?
Usually
in
about
Kansas City?
2 or 3 months, just depending on my schedule and how much time I have, yeah.
Got it. And so tell me what you've been up to. I mean, I think the last time we talked, like on a podcast, was after your first year, maybe in Bulgaria.
Oh my gosh, so you want me to start from after?
You don't have to. No, not at all. But I want to know what you do. Like, so I see these pictures of you on social media in the off season, videos of you doing some crazy workout stuff.
Uh-huh.
It seems like it's ramping up to playing. You go to Kansas City in the off season. How does Kansas City why Kansas City? Is there somebody there that you've known for a long time? What's the deal there?
Yeah. Okay. So the story's kind of crazy, but way back in the day, early college, I was dating Danny Duffy, who was drafted by the Royals.
By the Royals. Pitched in the World Series a couple years ago.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
So I actually went out to go visit him when he was in the minor leagues, and I met his strength and conditioning coach. And he would send me protein and all kinds of stuff when I was at Cal Poly. So always kind of had my back and was looking after me. When I tore my ACL, he wrote me up a really good recovery program.
This trainer.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Joseph Potts.
Okay.
So it's Top Speed Strength and Conditioning is mm-hmm. the gym we train at. And so, when I found out I was going to play professional, we just kind of kept in touch through the years, right. Maybe 3 years later, found out I was going to play professional. And he was like, well, come train out here. Like, I'll get you ready. And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. And basketball out there is so different. I mean, pickup, you can find it everywhere. And it's
in Kansas City?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's just so different.
It's like at different gyms or like outside? What do you do?
Yeah, usually we go to a college. There's a college, MNU, out there that the coach is awesome. He let me work out with their girls, let me in the gym all the time. And then they play pickup and girls from Mizzou, I mean, all over come and play. And
okay, so it's pretty high level.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few other girls that were playing overseas at that time, my first year out there too.
And yeah, you played with some girl from the SEC at some point, not from Mizzou though. You mentioned Mizzou, so.
Yeah. A girl from Oregon, Washington.
Okay. Maybe I was wrong. There's somebody named Johnson who is always on the Eurobasket page with you.
Amanda Johnson. Yeah, she's fit at Oregon.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. the first year I went out there, I was totally blind to it. I went out there having no idea what I was getting myself into.
Right.
And, I went out there. We started training. I gained weight. I was faster. I was quicker. I mean, everything about my game was just a whole new level. And I went overseas and I killed it. And then it was just like, for me, I'm an athlete of like routine and like what works.
So you find something that works, you want to stick with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't shy away from what works. That's not how I am. So yeah, I ended up going out there every summer and building relationships. And now I stay with one of the families, the lady that does the Athletes for Yoga, in the same gym.
Because I was going to ask you, that's got to be the hardest part, is like trying to figure out what, like where to stay. Yeah. How do I find a place to stay for 3 months while I'm working out that doesn't cost an arm and a leg? I mean, I know cost of living there is really cheap.
Yeah, but it's definitely a lot cheaper compared to here. But I got so lucky meeting this family out there. And like I said, she owns a Synergy Yoga. It's a yoga for athletes that's in the same gym. She has a studio up top. And they are just the most phenomenal family and totally took me in. I mean, I call them my Kansas family now. And they have this big house and give me my own little, like, quarters of the house. And, yeah, I mean, they're just amazing. They take care of me when I'm out there and usually give me a car and everything. So it's...
Wow.
Yeah, it works out really well.
Nice to have friends, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely met some really awesome people out there.
Yeah, what's, when you go out there, is your day, like, two, three, four like workouts a day, different things, and probably you're doing yoga. I mean, are you doing yoga too with those people?
Yoga, yeah, absolutely. I try and do yoga every day. And when I go out there, I mean, so much more flexible and strong, my core and everything. But yeah, we usually train. We'll do one lifting program. We usually do something conditioning, hill runs on the track. Yeah. Or I'll just go play pickup. That'll be like my afternoon workout.
This past year you hurt yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like what, a year ago now, basically, right?
Yeah, last December.
Okay. So like, how was that summer? How was like that work? Oh, there's a wasp on me.
Oh.
Is it still there? The yellow jacket?
I don't think so.
Dang, man. I saw it. I was watching it over there and it landed on me.
No, I think
we're outside. We're not in the studio today. My garage is a mess, so we're recording outside with my dog running around and maybe airplanes flying over at some point. So, like you've torn ACLs before.
Oh yeah,
ACLs, right? Plural. Uh-huh. You've torn both of them.
Yeah.
Was this the third one?
This is the third one. Yeah, it was kind of freaky. It was about almost exactly 10 years after the first time I tore it.
Okay.
Back in high school, in 2006. And, yeah, this one was kind of different because I did it in a big game, and I think it was a lot of wear and tear, but also, again, contact. They've all been contact.
So you hit something?
A girl hit my knee.
Okay.
Yeah, and every time it's happened like this. Because
you see a lot of non-contact ACLs, especially in women's sports.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, if it was non-contact every time, I think I would have called it a few years
okay.
ago.
And okay.
I would have been like, all right, clearly something's not right. Something's not working right in there. But the fact that's always, I mean, it's a straight blow to the knee every time.
Oh.
So it's like, just fix it up, get back out there, you know.
Did somebody like trip and fall and land into it sideways, or how'd that work?
I actually went up for a layup and I just turned my body and it was an and one. Uh-huh. And I was so pumped up and I had so much adrenaline going that I was like, ooh, my knee. Oh, but it's fine. I made it. You know, like, go make your free throw. So it was a whole different feel because we were playing Euro Cup, which is a big deal. We're playing this really good team from France. And we came close playing them away, and we had them at home. So I was like, there's no way I'm going out of this game. And my coach is like, you're all right. You sure? I'm limping down the court at halftime. I taped it up. They taped it up for an ACL because it's one of the most sturdy tape jobs.
Okay.
But I went back out and played the whole game. And
you
I'm
finished
thinking,
the game with
oh,
a torn
yeah,
ACL.
A whole second half. And I the whole time was just thinking, you know, yeah, I probably just sprained it. Maybe a little meniscus. That's fine. And then, yeah, sure enough, I went and got my MRI, and he's like, you don't have an ACL. So
that's bad news.
It was a lot different, yeah, because my first two were so painful, and I just knew right when it happened that I tore it. This one, I was like, I think it's fine.
Do you think being in, like, professional shape and working out like you have in the off season probably, like, I mean, almost, like, kind of allows you to finish that game maybe without the ACL?
Absolutely.
On some level,
absolutely.
Right?
I think yeah, having that strength in my legs to just kind of hold everything
right,
in
right.
place. I mean, yeah, right. It could have been a lot worse, I guess, playing on it a whole second half in a really competitive game. It wasn't an easy, you know, bottom of the barrel.
And this
Swiss
is you
team.
Playing in Switzerland, right, for
yeah.
a team in Switzerland. So
yeah.
So tell me, like, are you – was that like a one-year contract? Are you, like, off a contract right now and you're just kind of waiting to heal up enough to play again? Is that
yeah.
kind of what you're doing?
So I actually signed a contract to go back and play for a different Swiss team.
Okay.
And I would have gone back to the team I played for, but they're playing Euro Cup again, and I couldn't guarantee them I was going to be ready in time.
Because Euro Cup happens at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, which they prepare really early for that. Right. They go away, they play in big tournaments. Because they got to get the team right. So I couldn't commit to being ready in time. I signed with another Swiss team, like our rival team. I went to Kansas City. I trained a week or two before I was supposed to go out to Switzerland. They kind of were going back on some things in the contract. Oh. And I wasn't feeling so secure with my knee and where I was at also. So we both just called it. We kind of had this mutual like, look, I think we're just going to go our separate ways. Uh-huh. No hard feelings. Uh-huh. So, like I said, no hard feelings. Yeah. We went our separate ways. Yeah. And then I was looking at some other teams and then decided to take some time for myself and heal up the right way. I just started thinking there's no point of me pushing it so hard to get back right now when it's just not necessary. And I'm 27. I've had 4 knee surgeries. I'm like, it's better for me and my body that I wait and go back when I'm 100% and ready.
So are you thinking like this whole season maybe? Or are you looking at maybe the end of the season, maybe catching on with somebody? What's the...
Half season's the plan right now. I'm actually, my agent's in contact with quite a few teams. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the fun process where we weed out and we kind of explore and negotiate with teams. So that's the process we're in now.
Got it.
There's a lot of good teams that are interested. So it's kind of an exciting time.
Since you left Cal Poly, you've been in places like Bulgaria for, 2 years?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. You spent a little bit of time in Israel?
Uh-huh.
And you've been in Switzerland. That's
yes.
right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Cool. So, what's been like your favorite stop so far? It sounds like you were excited about going back to Switzerland as an option, right?
Absolutely. There is no place that I've played that I didn't just completely fall in love with. They are all 3 so different, but that's what kind of makes me love all of them. Bulgaria was definitely complete opposite from Switzerland. The crowd and the fans were unbelievable. I mean, they were so phenomenal. It was so fun to play there. But, you know, there's a lot of poverty. In
Bulgaria?
Yes.
Right.
And stray dogs and low cost of living. And
the cities are a little bit different.
It's complete opposite.
Right.
But then in Switzerland.
Switzerland's like very progressive and like there's a lot of money in Switzerland.
Clean. Yeah. Everyone drives Porsches and Bentleys, and it's like so opposite. But then you go to the games, and we had good fans, but they were just very proper, and
they're a little more laid back,
and they weren't like crazy throwing stuff on the court and cussing at the refs and getting kicked out. And you know,
do people throw stuff on the court a lot in Bulgaria? Like what kind of stuff?
Absolutely. We had water bottles. I had a drumstick thrown at me one time, drummer.
Do people get kicked out? How does that work?
Okay. We had a guy.
So
there's
like security at the games that kicks people out when they throw stuff.
There's always security. There's police officers at the game, every game.
Yeah.
We used to sell out in Bulgaria, so it was so much fun.
What city were you in Switzerland?
Freiburg.
Okay.
And it's really close to the capital, Bern.
Okay.
And it's kind of cool because it's right in between Geneva and Zurich. It's about an hour and a half.
Picture Switzerland's all mountains. Is it just all mountains? There's no like flat areas?
Pretty much. I mean, everywhere you go, it's hilly. It's beautiful. I mean, you're driving, there's castles, and it's so colorful and bright. Everything looks like a painting. I mean, we went on road trips and girls were sleeping and I was just like jaw dropped, eyes so wide open, like couldn't even believe what I was seeing. Everything looks like a painting it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's so much, so beautiful. It's such a cool experience.
Yeah, so I'm sure you learned a little like the Bulgarian language. Switzerland, what do you, did you have to like learn French or anything?
Yeah, so we were on the border where it switched from French to German or German to French, whatever way you look at it. Not much. I mean, basics. I learned basics of French, but I actually had a really good friend that was Serbian that was there.
Okay.
And Serbian and Bulgarian are very similar. So I actually learned more Serbian, I think, while I was there than I did French.
Because everybody probably speaks English too on some level, a lot of people do, right?
Most people do, yeah. And if they don't, it's just, you know, like this universal sign language, you know, food and you motion your hands or whatever it is. So you can get by. I mean, it's not very hard.
Sure. Through all these off seasons, it seems like, I mean, you're around Cal Poly, you're around the area here. I'm going to get the date right and the time right. On Saturday, December 3rd. There's a 4 p.m. game that Cal Poly women's basketball. It's the first part of a doubleheader that night. Actually, there's two women's and men's basketball doubleheaders, and I'm so excited about it. I have to tell you, that week, Thursday is a 5 and 8 o'clock back to back, and then Saturday that week is a 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock back to back. And yeah. I just think at Cal Poly, it's a really great idea because I think more people come to the women's game. And get exposed to it. I think it's a nice kind of build up towards the men's game with an hour in between. Yeah. And I hate it that they've switched from, I don't know when you were in high school, but when I was in high school, they played four games in a row in the same place. They'd start at 3 and the last game would start at 7:30 or something like that. Yeah. And you'd just be able to see all the players play. And if you're a JV player, you could watch the varsity game after you and be like, oh, that's what I'm going to want to do next year or whatever. And just from a fan's perspective, you could see the whole deal. I'm really excited about that week. And the big thing before that 4 o'clock game, they're retiring number 12.
Yeah.
How long has that been in the works? When did you find out about it? And just kind of take me through that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So Coach Faith told me not long after I graduated, and she's really good at doing this. She slyly kind of mentioned it, and I was like, wait.
She's like, yeah, someday we're gonna retire your jersey.
Yeah.
I could see her totally.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, well, whenever you're around for, you know, one of our games, we're gonna retire the jersey. And I was like, wait, what? For me, there's never been an honor greater than this. And I think a lot of it's because my number, it actually means a lot to me. I mean, it's was my Nana's number. She played in the Olympics for Nicaragua.
I didn't know that.
National team, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, my dad.
What year? Do you know?
Oh, no. I have no idea.
50s?
I did some interview where I looked it up and then I just.
In the 50s? Maybe? Wow.
Probably before that.
Before that, when women's basketball was
Yeah, I remember her telling us a story about when they came to America to play the team here, and she was the tallest one on her team at 5'8".
Okay.
Which was really tall back then. Especially for a Nicaraguan woman.
How tall are you? 6'5"?
6'2".
6'2"?
Oh, I wish I was 6'5".
6'4"? 6'3"?
That'd be awesome.
I think you're taller than me.
Yeah, we're around
6'3". Okay.
We can go with 6'3".
Okay, fair. Listed at 6'3" in the program?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I wish. No, 6'2". I'm pushing 6'2". But yeah, her story was when she came to America, there's these girls that, are 6'2".
Right.
Guard, and then a 6'5", and her stories are just so funny. But she wore number 12, my dad, my brothers, and it just means a lot to me. It's, a family number, and to have that retired and no one else can wear it is I don't think I've ever been so excited about something.
I was also number 12 in high school. So
there you go.
Yeah, high five. Yeah,
go.
I'm a big fan of the number 12. what has your relationship been with Coach Faith? Obviously, she's one of the most longest tenured coaches at Cal Poly. It's really hard to find people who, I don't know if I've ever talked to anybody who hasn't had great things to say about Faith Mimna. What has your relationship been like since you graduated? Obviously, it's been a number of years now.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if there's a word to describe our relationship. Originally, when I was looking at colleges, Cal Poly was cool and fun, but it was local and I wanted to go somewhere else. And then when I ended up tearing my ACL in high school, she was always there. She was calling me. She was coming to, the practices to see, even if it was just to peek in and not even talk. She was always there, and she's the one coach that made me feel like I was still a ball player and I was still welcome and wanted. And she was the only coach that made me have my confidence and feel confident to come back and play and do well. And throughout that process, she really just grew to be like family to me. She was like my family. She was there supporting me. I remember going to a Cal Poly game on crutches and the game was about to start and she ran over to me and gave me a huge hug and was like, I'm so glad you're here. We don't care what happened to your knee. You're always welcome here. And that was kind of the foundation of our relationship. I just knew, it wasn't even about just basketball. She was like, you're here. We're going to get you your education. We're going to be here to support you, whether you play, whether you don't, and it just really laid out that foundation. And then throughout college, she was just.
So we're going to get to that really quick. So what year did you tear your ACL of high school?
2006.
So that was your junior year?
Yeah, end of my junior high school? Year, right before playoffs, of course.
Yeah, okay, at Rigetti in Santa Maria.
Yeah.
And so you were probably talking to lots of different schools at that point, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I had gotten letters from UCLA, Utah State, Santa Clara, I mean, you name it, Pepperdine.
Sure.
I was... everywhere.
And so those started to kind of dry, like that communication kind of started to dry up after you got hurt. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Totally.
Except for
yeah. And you know, some places were like, well, let's see how you do next year, you know, and
kind of hedging.
We'll see if we still have the scholarship and, or you can walk on. I remember UCSB told me, you know, I could walk on and I was like, give me a break. Irvine was one of the places that was so on me. I went to their camps. I had basketballs and shirts and all this stuff, and I was all about Irvine. And that coach, I'll never forget, she just completely gone, like didn't even exist anymore, wouldn't return phone calls, never called me again. And then I remember playing them my freshman year and tore it up, and we killed them. It was down there in Irvine, and the coach wouldn't even look at me, so that was a good feeling. But yeah, I mean, a lot of teams just right. totally fell off the map, and mm. I didn't hear from them again. Right. And yeah, there was still was schools, and I went, right. you know, after still to go visit Santa Clara and Pepperdine sure. and stuff. But sure. Like I said, Cal Poly was the only place I went to, and Coach Faith was there. She called me after my surgery. She came to wow. visit. I was going up there, and yeah. she was just so persistent, and she it's really incredible. Made it known that, yeah. you know, I was wanted, and that she still believed I could come back. And
so, like, after post career then, like, how often do you guys talk, chat, message, email?
I try to get up there and see her as much as possible, especially in the first couple years. I was, you know, training up there a lot. I was living up there. This is really the first summer that I haven't been around her and the team a ton.
Right.
And that's because after my surgery, I decided to stay home and work it instead of move up to San Luis, just because that's where my family is and they could help yeah. take care of me. And
well, and a lot of, on top of that, I would imagine at some point, the people who were freshmen when you were a senior are gone now.
Are gone.
Right. Was Kristen Alle on that team even, or Beth?
Yeah,
like any of those people even on that team? I don't even know.
Yeah, Kristen was one of the girls that came in my fourth year on her recruiting trip, and I was like, I'm never going to play with these girls, because at that point I hadn't torn my ACL. And I honestly, and this is a true story, I really paid no attention to them. I was like, I'm never going to play with them. Like, I don't need to
invest. You
didn't
hang out with them on their visit?
Not really. I was like, I don't need to invest my time with this. I mean, I was nice enough, but I wasn't, you know, pulling my recruiting card, which I'm really good at. But, yeah, I was just like, I'm never going to play with these girls. It's fine, you know?
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, I tore my ACL, and I ended up playing with all those girls. But, yeah, they're all gone now.
Right, right,
which is
right.
really crazy to me. I mean, I go back
to make you feel old?
Team. So old. I mean, I can't even – there's some – like, Hannah from Monterey.
Uh-huh.
She was a baby, and I remember –
from Morro Bay?
Yeah, Morro Bay, yeah. sorry. And I remember Coach Faith asking, can you work with this girl? Can you train this girl? She's young, but, you know, she has a lot of potential, and yeah. – and she was so shy. She would come to our open gyms, and I was like, Coach Faith, she won't even talk. I don't know how to, you know. And yeah. she was so young, and now I think she's a senior now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Crazy.
She
it
went
blows
for like,
my mind.
You know, 20-something and 13 the other day. Yeah.
Really?
At
good
Sac
for
State.
Her.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's fast. She can run up down the court a lot faster than a lot of the bigs. So.
Yeah.
You don't know anything about that, do you?
No, nothing about that. I don't even like running.
So then, you know, in terms of like hanging with Cal Poly people, you know, I see pictures of you and like Molly out there too, which
yeah.
is like, so you're like bringing people to Kansas City now.
Yeah.
Like,
trying to do my part.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was kind of funny because, me and Molly's another one that we never were really close. We always went to the same schools. I was actually closer with our older sisters. We were closer in age. We were both coming back, or I was coming back and training with Cal Poly, and she had just finished, and she was like, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I'm not part of this team. Like, there's nowhere around here really to play competitive pickup all the time and to train and to get better. And I kind of like jokingly threw it out there, and I was like, yeah, just come to Kansas City with me. That's where I train. And then it got to a point where she texted me like, wait, really? Can I go? And I was like, yeah, I talked to my trainer and we ended up setting it up and she came out and loved it. And, you know, year two, here she is coming back out. So,
yeah.
And she really benefited from it too. And she saw the results and I think she's kind of stuck now too, going out there in her little routine with me. So
there's a professional lifestyle that you have to have, right?
On totally. Some level. Yeah. I mean, there's just a certain amount of, work and dedication you have to put in that's really hard to find in this area, mm-hmm. Which is why, you know, everyone's like, especially people in Kansas are always mm-hmm. like, why would you leave California in the summer to come to Kansas City? And I'm like, well, sports wise, it's not the
you're like if I lived in LA,
Central Coast, yeah, you know,
or even the Bay Area, cities, right?
But, you know, where we live, it's hiking and surfing and fun and happy. And
and if you like surf to stay in shape, then it would be one thing too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but no. Yeah, to play and to get to that level and compete with, you know, top-notch players, it's hard around here.
I don't know how many like surfers you grew up with in Santa Maria, but like I grew up in Cayucas, so like okay. Everybody's a surfer.
Everyone.
And there are guys that I grew up with who are big surfers and they're like surfing strong. Does that make sense? Like
oh,
the
yeah.
core muscle wise, they're just
yeah,
like
I mean, I'm
and
horrible.
When they came and played basketball, like not necessarily coordinated, but like there was a strength that they had that like
they're
that
like,
other people don't, like swimming and surfing.
They're
strong.
Like the good defenders.
Oh yeah.
You know? You're
oh,
like
yeah.
just lock up that player.
On balance.
And they'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't necessarily shoot the ball, but like lock up that player.
When I coached high school, there was some kids who were like that too. And it's like those are the guys that you want like when you're pressing
yeah.
and everything else.
Most of the football players. And try and get them to play pickup and just play defense.
So you're still rehabbing your knee, like you're playing doing what you can. You
uh-huh.
played pickup this summer. Like, how are you feeling? Are you in a brace still? What's
yeah,
that look like?
I'm still wearing my brace. And a lot of that is mental for me because
totally.
I get hit a lot in my knees. And, you know, a lot of people are always coming at me. And to have that just there. So, you know, when they hit my brace, I'm like, oh, thank God. Wasn't my
the
knee.
Girls you play against, it seems like, are probably as tall as you, but maybe bigger. Is
yeah.
that is that generally the case? Or
yeah, I'm definitely undersized. And
for,
a lot of...
For playing like a five or four?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
A lot of teams bring me in, and they're like, we want you to play, you know, 3-4 position. I get there, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm really good at the five. And I like playing
like a
the
stretch
five. Yeah.
Like where the NBA is with the five position right
yeah.
now is what you really like.
Yeah,
right.
Totally. And I love...
Because you can hold your own a little bit defensively,
yeah.
play a little post
absolutely.
Defense, and stretch the floor.
Quick, and that's something I learned at Cal Poly was, you know, how to get around those posts and how to front and how to, you know, play good defense.
Hold your own defensively.
Totally.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then offensively, I mean, I have a quick step on most post players and, you
right.
know, I can draw them out. And it's just, it's so fun for me. I just love playing the five. And I'm really not a true five. I make myself a five, but
right.
Most time when I go play on these teams, I outplay the fives or the bigs that they thought were going to be the fives, and they usually
right.
move to the four, and then I'll play the five. But
oh, okay.
I kind of play everywhere.
Yeah, right.
But a
right.
lot of contact in there, so that's why I like playing with my brace for now. At some point, I'll get rid of it, and I'll maybe put a sleeve on or something. But for now, my knee's feeling good. I'm playing few little city league teams, which has been fun. More for cardio, not trying
yeah,
to get
just
real
to mess
crazy,
around.
Yeah, get up and down the court.
Yeah.
I play with the high school team, Rigetti.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always trying to jump out there with the guys and the girls and just do whatever I can. I train a lot of kids, try and jump into those workouts, and yeah.
Stay ready. When is halfway through
yeah.
the season?
So after Christmas is the when the second half of season starts. But mm-hmm. I've had several teams call me on a whim and be like, hey, we heard you're still not playing anywhere. You want to come out tomorrow?
Yeah, like we'll put you on a plane tomorrow and you can start.
Yeah, I've already had two teams say that. And then
from what? From Switzerland?
One from Switzerland
mm-hmm.
and one from Bulgaria, actually. Yeah, so they were like, hey, like we just saw that you weren't playing with the team you signed with. Like, want to come tomorrow?
Come back to Rusa.
No, I can't.
Not
I
right
can't
now.
Come tomorrow.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is also because I scheduled this jersey retirement and stuff, and there's no way I'm missing that. So that's just something for me that means so much. And so I keep telling them, I'm like, after December 3rd, I'm good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. We're talking to a lot of teams right now, and it's kind of exciting. My agent's excited, and I'm excited. So.
Yeah. Looking back now, I mean, like you said, you didn't, when you were a senior, those kids coming in, you know, not giving them, you know, much of the time of day.
Yeah.
like, what, looking back, is there something that, like, you wish you would have thought of differently or looked at differently when you were in school, either just, like, playing hoops or even, like, personally? Like, is there anything that you, like, look back on and, man, I should have done that, or I should have taken more advantage of that, or anything like that?
No.
No.
I have absolutely no regrets, nothing about college. I mean, my fifth year, I was pretty much done with school, and I was taking, you know, fun classes, and I was taking a basketball class, and my teacher was like, you can go to and go practice with your coach, you know.
Well, you're taking a basketball class.
Yeah, I took a basketball class.
So like, how to play basketball?
I would help, yeah. So I would
help.
Were
you the TA?
Coach. No, I was in the class, but Dr. Hall was the teacher, and she was so awesome. So we kind of made this deal that I would help out with the class, and then I could also, you know, get my own little workouts in and stuff. But yeah, my fifth year was so fun, and I dedicated so much time on the court, and Coach Stoop was really my rock that year, because she was, I can't even tell you how many hours a day extra we would put in. I mean, it would be 9 o'clock at night, and I would text her and be like, I need to clear my mind. Will you go shoot with me? And she would meet me there. And
tell me about Carrie. I know Carrie like a little bit. I've met her, you know, I've known her probably for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. Probably since she came. I know she's a Cal Poly alum as well.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about her. Like, what's she like?
I'll start from the very beginning. When I used to go to Cal Poly games and watch her play, she always had these two French braids, and I just idolized
two French
her.
Braids, like one on each side.
Yeah, okay. So she had like two braids. And she
like real tight.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So she would always play with these French braids, and that's how I remember her most. And she was just a freaking fireball out there on that court, and I idolized her. I loved the way she played. It was so fast and aggressive, and she had so much energy, and I remember that from when I was a kid. And I actually found
that's funny,
a picture of the Cal Poly team from when I was young that I had signed, and I think I had her sign it like 2 or 3 times. And I sent her a picture, and she's like, man, you must have really loved me back then, huh? So when I remember coming up and playing pickup with them also a few times when I was early high school, and she was there every once in a while, she would be there, and I was so intimidated by her. I mean, she was just so ferocious. And, so when she was coming, I heard she was going to be our coach. I was so excited. And I was coming back from my ACL, and one of the first workouts I had with her, there was 3 of us bigs, that she was putting us through a little workout. Uh-huh. And I was being a little baby. I was just being soft, and I didn't need to, but I was kind of milking my knee. And she looked at me.
Because you're not sure about it, too.
Yeah, so. I was a little unsure. And honestly, I was just being soft, and which isn't like me. Mm-hmm. And so Carrie looked at me, and she said, you go hard or you get off my court. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to go hard. And I just gained so much respect for her at that point, because there was few people by my fifth year that would yell at me that way.
And she was new. Right.
And I knew what kind of player she was too. So I just gained this so much respect for her for not letting me slack. And that just set the tone for my whole fifth year. I mean, she was in there all the time with me. She was my mental support. She was physically letting me in the gym, you know, weight room extra, whatever I needed. I mean, she just had my back for everything. And she was the reason I had that fifth year. I mean, along with Coach Faith, obviously, all the coaches dedicated so much time, but Duke was really, she was the post coach, and she just dedicated so much time.
I don't know anything about, you know, hiring or where she wants to be, but if she wants to be, she's going to be a head coach really easily at some point. Yeah, I mean, she's
definitely could. Yeah.
She's impressive to me. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she's amazing.
So coming up again, Saturday, December 3rd, 4 p.m., is the game. So the ceremony is probably gonna be like get there at 3:30 if you wanna see number 12 go up into the rafters.
Yeah, definitely. They're doing like a little tent thing outside at 2:30. So 2:30, 3:30, we'll be like hanging out, just kind of
like the pregame that they do.
And then at 3:30, around 3:30 is the ceremony. Yeah.
Okay. All right. At Maude, and again, it's a preface to the men's game later on in the night too. So like, you know, there's a couple of these awesome weekends that are coming up. This weekend is really cool because there's a men's game right before the football game.
Oh, nice.
So there's like a 3 o'clock.
That's exciting.
Like a 2 o'clock men's game and then a 6 o'clock football game.
How cool.
So that'll be fun. Yeah. And then in a couple weeks, the week after Thanksgiving, I guess, Thursday night, there's a doubleheader. And then Saturday is a doubleheader that it's actually kind of a tripleheader. because the Christina Santiago jersey retirement will be there too. So we'll kind of keep an eye out, I guess, and see where you end up.
Yeah.
Do you like going back and forth to Europe? This is like my last question because it's more of a non-basketball question. Uh-huh. Going back and forth to Europe like so often, right? Because even during a season, you probably go back and forth, what, 3 times, 4 times, even during a season. I remember seeing you here, like, you're like, yeah, we have a week off or something like that. Or, yeah, I just came home for a week.
Yeah.
Is that something that you that you negotiate in a contract, or are there just breaks in the Euro season? How does that work?
Yeah, so there's a half season break. And depending on the schedule, most teams get a Christmas break and Americans will get to come home. Sometimes, like one year we had a game like the 28th or something and the 22nd. And my coach was like, you can't go home. And I was like, but it's in my contract, so I'm going to go home. So I went home for like 2 days.
Just to do it.
Yeah. Right. And you know, it helps. You wouldn't think 2 days would make a difference.
Because you're flying for 2 days to get home for 2 days.
Yes. Right. Also, it's 2 days of travel. So,
especially from the West Coast.
Yeah, far. I mean, West Coast, and then I'm in Eastern Europe at the time, you know, so it was really like far. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then other times I've come home, I've had some family stuff where my grandpa wasn't doing well, and I just kind of, I got out of a game, my dad told me, and I said, Coach, I'm going to go home for 3 days. And he was like, what? And I was like, I got some family stuff. If you want to kick me off the team, you can kick me off the team. I'm averaging 25 and 10, but if you want to, you can, you know, and they were really cool about that kind of stuff. And
early in your career, it seemed like coaches were kind of a little bit more punitive when you weren't as established. Is that something that's kind of gotten a little bit more relaxed, or is that just the general culture, no matter how established you are?
I think especially in Europe, all the coaches talk to each other. Everyone knows of each other. I think once I established myself, especially like my first year I did really well, but once they saw I could, you know, keep up that pace, did good in Euro Cup. I mean, and I've played with so many players now that, you know, there was a team in Spain looking at me that they talked to one of my old teammates who just said the greatest things about me, and he really wanted me to go there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you make connections, you meet people, you see a lot of different teams and different countries that you play against, and coaches take note of that. And the players that are over there that are established, that don't have a hard time getting jobs, are the ones that, you know, have made a name for themselves. So I think I'm at that point. And, you know, I told my agent I'm actually going to Germany next week to go visit Bennett, and he's
former Cal Poly postman Brian Bennett.
Yes. Uh-huh. And asked my agent, you know, do you want me to go try and meet up with some teams, show them I can still play? And he was like, no, I don't have a problem selling you to people. That's not, you don't need to go try out, you know? And I didn't know, I'm coming off an injury.
It's nice to feel that way.
Yeah, and it was a really good feeling. So it's funny when you ask that question, because I feel like I am pretty established over there, and I've made a pretty good reputation for myself as a person also, and just trying to be a leader. And finally feel like I'm pretty established.
How long do careers go? Like, how long do you picture your career going for? I mean, that's a lot, like a larger question maybe than, but you know, you're talking about it. So what's your picture for yourself that way?
You know, I'm going to see how this season goes, this half season. And if I feel good and I still got it, I'm probably going to go for it. But if, you know, after every game, I can't walk for 2 days, or, you know, I'm my back's going out.
Do you feel that way after workouts right now? From time to time, or maybe as you are healing?
Right now, it's difficult, because I'm not in basketball shape. I mean, and no one is until they get playing games. Right. I mean, it takes a few games to get in basketball shape. So, yeah, now it's I definitely feel the difference. I feel like I'm older. I feel like I need more time to recover. You know, the girls want to go out after games, and I'm like, grandma's staying home tonight. You know,
get some ice, some ice and Netflix, Netflix and ice. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot different. So I, you know, at this point I'm taking it pretty much day by day. I'll go over there. I'll see how we do. If it's, if it's good, I'm going to go for it. If not, I'm finally at a place where I would be okay with, you know, calling it and ending my career. And, you know, I am a woman, so eventually I want a family and a real job and a home, and that's a lot of stuff that you can't have with the unstable lifestyle that I live right now. So, I'm okay with it when that time comes, and we'll just kind of take it day by day. So it could be 5 years, it could be a half season. Who knows?
Awesome, Christina. Thanks for chatting today.
Yeah. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up, don't bring me down. You give your love to everyone around. You send me on my way to Trouble Town. I can't find my way around Trouble Town. Front page of the news.